So I've got down Forest v Chelsea, Everton v Sheffield United, or West Ham v Luton, or Tottenham v Burnley.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everybody. My name's James. Welcome to Planet Sky FF, where everything revolves around £50,000. Serge is on holiday, and I've got the guest of guests, planning supremo TV projector extraordinaire. It's Ian Parrin. How are you, Ian?
That's some intro, James. Thanks for having me. Yeah, all good. Thanks.
I didn't plan that. It was off the cuff, actually. I went, oh, shit, I better give Ian a big plug here, mate.
Very generous of you.
For anyone who doesn't know you, mate, tell the listeners and the viewers who you are, mate.
So my name's Ian. I'm Plant It Sky on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. And I do fixture predictions for televised games for mainly Sky. And I also do some transfer planners for Fantasy Football Hub.
Good stuff, mate. We are going to talk towards the end of this a bit of projections for the final two weekends before the final day of the season. See if we can have a kind of a workout of what Sky and TNT might do over these two weekends. But first, Ian, how is the season going for you?
Pretty good, thanks. Just jumped into the top 300 yesterday. So hopefully a good finish as per.
I was interested to know if you were going to say top 300 or top 500, because your second team's not far behind either.
No.
Which one's the first team?
At the minute, the one that's currently trailing.
Okay. I'm going to guess, Ian, that knowing you as I do, you're going to have more transfers at this point than nearly everybody.
Yeah, probably more than most, I imagine, yeah.
He's not going to divulge. I will.
I will divulge what I've got, actually.
Go on.
I've got, because somebody asked me on Twitter whether their 12 transfers was any good, and I've told them that I have between 150% and 200% more than them. So that's between 18 and 24.
He's got 21. Wow, blimey. That's a lot at this stage. I will tell you that I'm down to 14 after a couple of moves this week. I bought Mo back in on Sunday.
Didn't we all?
Standard one, I think, for Ollie Watkins, which was the planned move, whether Watkins got injured or not anyway. And after Areola got injured on Saturday, I actually decided to buy David Raya on Sunday. And the plan again was to make that move tonight. I was obviously not expecting Raya to keep a clean sheet on Sunday. So from a Sky perspective, that was a bonus. From a mental state perspective, it was not. I'm up to 140th.
Yeah, it'd be great season, mate.
Better. I mean, last year I had an absolute nightmare. I mean, I suspect I'll probably do well to hold you off with what you've got left there. So, yeah, not too bad. Even had Zabani contribute with a clean sheet last night. That's not been the worst enabler pick I've ever had. Romero's obviously had passing tiers across the week. I captained Sonny Saturday. Rodri's passing tier Sunday. Jared Bowen has obviously returned in both games, including the assist last night. Cole Palmer, strong return on Saturday. Haaland didn't captain because the captained Mo on Sunday. So no loss on that. And Dominic Solanke obviously had a goal at the weekend as well. So, yeah, not doing too badly. The time for moves...
all very similar to that, to be honest.
Yeah, but you've got more where you can diversify. We had a little chat before we started and you kind of circled Sunday the 14th.
Moving day, that is.
A very big day. I said to you, I've probably at the moment only got 2 to 3 moves planned across that Sunday and then perhaps the Monday game, Chelsea against Everton. You said to me, you think it's probably going to be more the lot.
Yeah, it's going to be 4 or possibly 5 that day, yeah.
Why is that period so important to you, Ian?
It's where City, Tottenham, Brighton, to name but 3, all don't play. There's 3 for 0s and they're pure 3 for 0s. We, a bit like Paul McNulty said on last night's Sky pod, unless your player gets sent off in the first game, you're guaranteed to make some points up.
Yeah, it feels like that day plus Wednesday the 24th.
Yeah, that's when most of the Arsenal disappear again.
Yeah, those are almost our two biggest days left, aren't they? Would you say?
Yeah, pretty much, I think, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Let's have a look at the forthcoming week or so. Let's talk captaincy in the first instance. I guess
Okay.
there's a debate to be had tonight. Haaland versus Saka, I guess, if Saka plays, or even one of the Arsenal defensive. Is it just go with Haaland because it's a home game, don't want to argue. That's my normal philosophy. Or are you going to go against, you think, Ian?
I think I'd probably go for Haaland. My big decision tonight is whether to bring in Saka.
Time.
I've got ways to do it, but none of them are easy. I'd be pleasantly surprised if he's benched.
Interesting. Interesting. My intention is to buy tonight. Probably for Jarrod Bowen is my idea. The money's in the bank, so I'm sitting there with 2.6 in the bank at the moment. So that would still leave me a million spare. So I'm looking at that as a possibility. Little nervous of going into tonight with no Arsenal defensive possibly as well, but I think it worked for me to go Saka
You've
tonight.
got Raya though, haven't you?
Yeah, I know passing tiers have been down against Luton recently, but I think we see it back up again with sort of
It'll
Romero at
come
the
in clean
weekend.
sheet at least, won't it?
Yeah, you feel like you're getting the inevitable return. The other thing I feel is with Saliba and Gabriel particularly, if they were going to be rested, it would be tonight. You can't see them getting rested in the other. So if you go for these guys, they're going to play, aren't they? There's
You
no
think so, yeah.
concern from that perspective. If there was to be a rest, it's tonight. So the benefit of seeing the team, also I think beneficial that that's the 7:30 kickoff rather than the 8:15, because it's more a going for Arsenal tonight, isn't it? Or are you thinking about in City, Ian, for this? I guess it's going to be 3-for-1 over a couple in there, isn't there?
I don't think I've got anybody I can take out.
Okay. So you're going to let that go tonight. I mean, I'll probably
Yeah.
have Haaland,
I've got
Rodri.
Haaland and Rodri, so.
Yeah, Haaland, Rodri, and probably be Reyer Saka for me tonight. I suspect there'll be some that might end up a little bit heavier than that. I take it captaincy tomorrow, Ian. It's just Salah as long as he's playing, is it?
Salah, if he's paying it, Salah isn't. He could have really hauled on Sunday, couldn't he?
Oh, massively. Absolutely.
Most shots in a Premier League game, wasn't it?
Who would you say, if he was benched under surprise, who would you say was the next best? Would it be a Liverpool defensive? Would it be Cole Palmer?
Yeah, Van Dijk, if you've got him, or Palmer, toss up a coin out, I think. Palmer's been so good this year.
Yeah, phenomenal. His ownership now in top thousands, I presume, is 97.9%.
Yeah. I was surprised Mose wasn't higher, to be honest.
What's that? Sorry.
I was surprised Salah's wasn't higher on Sunday. It's 93, isn't it?
94.2
Yeah, I thought it'd
at
be
the
higher
moment.
than that.
It's mad
That's
when
sixty people that haven't got it.
maybe they couldn't get there.
Maybe.
Guess the possibility, especially with obviously Haaland was playing on Sunday as well, that may well have been the case. What do you think for captaincy on Saturday, Ian? We've
Haaland, if
obviously
he's
got
playing.
it's the early kickoff, isn't it? So
Early game, so you get to see.
That's the bonus. This does feel like the one to me, though, that if he did get left out, it might be this one just because of the proximity of the fixtures. Obviously, they play Real Madrid next
Tuesday,
Tuesday.
yeah.
Under that scenario, Ian, where do you think you'd be looking on Saturday?
I've got a fair choice.
Is it just default to Rodri?
Might be Rodri. Again, it could be Saka if I got him, but he might not play then either. So
I wonder if
I think it'd probably be Rodri.
Solanke
Solanke,
owners
yeah.
might Luton away. I might look at that as well. I think I'd go Rodri
Was
under that
that 4-3
circumstance.
when they played last time? Only about 3 weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yes, in
Yeah.
the infamous Bournemouth double game week in FPL. Sunday, Salah, Son, Palmer. Is this
Palmer all day.
all day just because of the opponent, basically?
Yeah. Sheffield United are rubbish.
Yeah, I'm thinking similar. Mo does have obviously a very good historical record against Manchester United.
I think that's Liverpool's hardest game left this season.
I think so as well. I've said this on a few other bits this week. I feel like that's the key game left now in terms of
Yeah.
the title race, possibly. I mean, if Liverpool win that, you possibly fancy them to to go all the way from there. They're obviously now bookies' favourites. They'll go odds on if they win Thursday and then
I think they will, yeah.
On Sunday. You got any weekend transfer plans for Sunday at all, Ian?
No, it's nice and easy this weekend. Everything stays.
Yeah, the weekend should be a quiet one, I think, as well, because obviously the four of the teams who play on Sunday obviously play on Thursday night as well. So certainly in Liverpool's case, it would be entry on Sunday. In the case of Chelsea, it's maybe wait. Manchester United is probably not of interest until that Wednesday, the 24th date. You're not going to go and buy Sheffield United. Obviously, the Tottenham Forest game, in case you missed it, is now 6 o'clock on Sunday, moved from the single game day of Monday night. That's because of transport issues in and around London. Of the six stations that serve White Hart Lane, only one of them they think will be usable on the Monday. So from a security point of view, they've moved the game to the very strange...
That's interesting for those that might want to move Son. Because if that single game day had stayed on the Monday, you would have been taking out Son for Saka today. You might.
Have you got Tottenham ownership? I'm guessing you do.
Yeah, I've got two. One will be going tonight.
So you're going to go one tonight?
Yeah. Okay. Possibly two.
I think I'm going to keep them both. I've got Romero and Son. I think I'm going to keep them for the Forest Newcastle games, and then they definitely come off there. I'm just wondering if there's enough gain in Arsenal against Luton and Brighton versus Tottenham against Forest and Newcastle to make that move worthwhile now rather than just doing it on that day you said, the Sunday. When Arsenal play Aston Villa. So I think they're probably
going to stay. Yeah, I might do some now because I want to do some more then.
Oh, okay. So as part of your thinking, you can obviously go in harder then at the end. Yeah. What would you say to the average person who's got less transfers left under that scenario? Is it now or is it on Sunday the 14th, do you think?
If you've got less transfers, I'd probably wait because there might be an injury in between.
Yeah, I think that as well. Like, I've been looking at Zabani to Gusto possibly for myself. On Thursday, I just know that's the enabler that I just want to shift on to something that then I forget about. It's probably more a wait till Sunday for me because Bournemouth have got Luton, whereas Chelsea are playing United. That feels like the perfect case of, well, if I'm going to do that, maybe wait for Sunday.
Yeah, if you're going to get the game, you might as well have the better game of the two first.
Yeah. Then there's also a case to say maybe even leave that for the Monday the 15th if I don't want to dive in on Sunday the 7th. Because I guess if Chelsea were
Bournemouth
going to rotate,
got the following week?
It's Manchester.
They've got Man United. I think I'd be tempted to do it on Sunday then.
Yeah, I think so. But they're so Jekyll and Hyde United. I take it United are part of your plan now come Wednesday the 24th, are they?
A small part of the plan.
Yeah, I definitely got some interest in potentially investing in them there and obviously Newcastle. Just want to do a quick wrap up of some of the data from the games at the weekend, and I'll go through this fairly quickly because I realise at this stage we're very much condensing into looking at one or two teams. From Newcastle West Ham at the weekend, passing and tackle tier for Bruno Guimaraes. Obviously, Alexander Isak was shot tier and his two goals. Mohamed Kudus and Suchek were tackles for West Ham. Jared Bowen shot tier to go with his goal as well. Obviously, Areola with a save tier, but I'm guessing people have either sold or selling for those who would still own. Harvey Barnes, four shots on target in that fixture as a substitute. Not much of interest from Bournemouth and Everton. Tyler Adams might be a player that's of interest next season, maybe. Got a tier one tackles. Pickford with saves. Godfrey tackles. Beto with a shot tier in that Bournemouth-Everton game. Chelsea-Burnley, really surprised result considering that Burnley red card. And the Chelsea passing numbers under that circumstance, perhaps not what we'd have expected. Enzo Fernandez, Benoit Badiashile with tier two passing. Mark Cucurella, Axel Disatai, tier one. Palmer Jackson was shot, so too Cullen and Foster of Burnley. Arnaud Muric made 11 saves in goal for Burnley. Petrovic with four saves for Chelsea. Where are Chelsea part of your plan here, Ian? Or is it just a case of Cole Palmer's enough and that'll be the end of it for me?
Palmer's enough at the minute. If I need some more, it'll be when they get four games at the back end of the season.
So I presume you're thinking from sort of the arrangement of the Tottenham game.
Yes.
Ideally, basically, yep.
Yeah, which would be one of the midweeks in May.
That makes sense. Forest and Palace, not really pricking much attention. There is a small case for Palace, though, perhaps. Murillo, the only player with a passing tier from that Forest Palace game. Sorry, Morgan Gibbs-White as well, 62. Palace, are you just completely overlooking it? And there is this little spell from the Liverpool game Sunday the 14th or the West Ham game Sunday the 21st, where you could dive into something and dive off. And I think most will avoid it. Someone like you might be able to take like an Eze punt or something like that.
I think I've got my moves planned elsewhere, mate, to be fair.
No, fair enough. Sheffield United, Fulham, not going to be of much interest to us at this stage. Robinson, Bassey, Adebayo with Parsons here in that game at Bramall Lane at the weekend. From Tottenham, Luton, Christian Romero, 92 passes completed. Radu Dragosin, who played left-sided centre-back, 65. Sonny with a shot here. From Villa Wolves, Diego Carlos, the only player with a Parsons here. 66 passes completed. João Gomes of Wolves, 7 tackles, 1. From the crazy Brentford Manchester United game on Saturday night, no passing tiers in that game. Bruno Fernandes was actually closest, 57 passes completed. He did also get a shot tier in that one, as did Keane Lewis-Potter, I thought played very well for Brentford, but I wouldn't be surprised that she comes out the same. Really strange one from the Liverpool-Brighton game on Sunday, Ian. Virgil van Dijk, 45 passes completed. Jarrell Quantz, 102.
Yes, madness.
Any thoughts behind that?
It must have been. I mean, I did watch the game, but I wasn't paying that much attention to exactly where everybody was stationed. I imagine it must have been that Quantz ended up in the middle of Van Dijk and Gomez, and Bradley was pushed on.
Yeah, Gomez was going to midfield quite a lot. And yes, Bradley was pushing on. They were also dropping Endo into position quite a lot as well.
He was playing like a third centre-back, wasn't he?
Yeah, Endo was the only other Liverpool player to hit passing tier. 63 passes completed. Alexis McAllister was one short, but he's ticking over quite nicely at the moment.
One short on tackles as well, wasn't he?
Yes, just the one short. You're absolutely right. Conor Bradley, 6 tackles, 1 shot tier for Liverpool's front three. Mo Salah had 4 shots on target and 8 off target.
That's a great save at the end, wasn't it, from the keeper?
It was. He played well, actually. He made 6 saves for Bruggen. Lewis Dunk, 85 passes completed and a shot here. Nice little bonus for those who might have been hanging on to him for a while. Pascal Gross ticking over as usual. 81 passes completed. It was tackles for Veltman and tier 2 tackles. Tier 1 for Estupin and tier 2 for Veltman. From Manchester City Arsenal, that thriller on Sunday. Tackle tier for Odegaard and Saka and Vardy. 110 passes completed for Rodri. Kovacic and Ruben Diaz, both in tier 2. Vardy, we played left back, was 6 short of tier 1 passes. Manuel Akanji, 65 passes completed. I suspect, had he started in the central role that he finished in after Nathan Ake went off, he'd have certainly been in tier 2 as well. Arsenal's most from the game was Saliba and Rice, 25 completed. Just briefly on last night, Hudson-Odoi with a shot tier for Nottingham Forest. Tosin Adebayo for Fulham. Calvin Bassey, tier 2 passing and tier 1 tackles. Adebayo also in the passing. And so too, Tom Kearney, 78 passes completed despite coming on as a substitute after 33 minutes in one of 3 changes that Marco Silva made after 33 minutes last night. That will be discussed with Dara Cohen on tomorrow's Clash of the Correspondents. For Newcastle Everton, Dan Byrne, the only player to pick up passing tier, has obviously moved to centre-back. And with Newcastle's injuries, may well stay there. I did have a glance at his price, but it was only a glance. I won't even tell you what it was. I just moved on. They're so broken defensively. He did get a tackle tier as well. Bruno Guimaraes, another tackle tier as well. Alexander Isak, 3 shots on target. Tarkowski and Idrissa Gana-Gueye, tackles for Everton. From Bournemouth Palace, no passing tiers completed, unsurprisingly. My boy Zabani was closest, 53 passes completed. Tackle tier for Tyreek Mitchell and Will Hughes. Jefferson Lerma played as a left-sided centre-back for Palace in that fixture. From Burnley Wolves, Max Kilman just into tier 1 passing and also tier 1 tackles. Rayan Aitnouri with a shot tier and a goal, played a more advanced role. João Gomes with a tackle tier. And from the West Ham Spurs game, Lucas Paquetá, 6 tackles, 1. He does tick over with them. Antonio with a shot tier. Tier two passing for Bissouma, Bentancur, and Romero for Tottenham. Also tier one for Van de Ven, Porro with a tackle tier as well. But I don't think there's too much now that we're looking to go into from the teams that played last night. We've nearly ruled them out, other than perhaps coming back for Tottenham, I guess, Ian.
Yeah, those that played last night, they'll be the ones that you're moving on today.
I guess the problem for many, though, will be, other than perhaps the high-ticket Tottenham players, probably a little bit like what you said, you've not really got the players to move on. Maybe people with Bowen might be close enough.
Possibly
That's
Bowen,
my circumstance, yeah.
Solanke.
Tough sell before Luton, though, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Especially if, like we've said, obviously, if Haaland didn't start on Saturday,
might be your captain.
Yeah, so that feels like a probably wait to move on with Dominic Solanke. And I don't think you'd be bothered holding him for the Manchester United game. And I spoke about this last week on Bournemouth. Because of the extra fixture with Wolves, you can end up holding for a while. And it's not helpful that the Brighton game in match week 35 is a Sunday.
Yeah, I think my plan, and that will depend on Brighton v City, Solanke will be the make weight for Haaland.
You'll be able to manage that move off, yeah?
Yeah.
On that with the City game, Ian, obviously the game with Brighton on Thursday the 25th can move to Wednesday the 24th.
And we won't know till a week before.
Which is a pain in the
It is.
Backside.
But then I've got a different plan that'll work, because if you want to bring City in on that Thursday, if their game's on the Wednesday, you can find a different captain and just bring them back in on the Sunday.
Yeah, the other thing is, if you're planning to go from Arsenal to Manchester City,
you can still do it.
It doesn't matter if the game moves to the Wednesday. That's a clever way of manufacturing your plan to make sure it stays the same. The only problem might be that you block yourself other transfers, but it's still within the same week. So that's not going to make a difference, is it? So
you've got to be careful. You've still only get five for a week, don't you?
Yeah, I think I've got across that Friday to Thursday period of that week, I think I'm looking at four.
I've got five again that week.
The thinking with that is a one contingency.
Makes sense.
If something goes wrong. Not that I've got the transfer in hand that you have, Ian. I've got in my plan at the moment at this stage that after City play Brighton, I'll probably have six left. I'm going to guess you'll be in the region of probably sort of 10-ish, maybe even nine.
Roughly. Depends on if I make five in both, I'll be down to nine, I think.
Yeah, that makes sense. That gives you probably a little bit extra, like you said, Chelsea and maybe even Tottenham to attack.
Yeah, to come back into for their game. Yeah.
At the end. The only thing I found when I looked at the future plans on that, Ian, was thinking that I may well have sort of a cluster of like City, United, Newcastle as well. And they've also got additional fixtures. It won't be as many as Chelsea, Tottenham at that stage. But you're almost looking to get rid of kind of everything else.
Yeah, but there's also Arsenal and Liverpool going, won't it? That's the thing.
But there's things that can create problems in that plan. And as I said, I wanted to talk to you about projections for those last two weekends. So those who follow my planner on Patreon will know I put up a projected TV fixtures for those two weekends. Now, my brain doesn't work as cleverly as Ian, which is why I wanted to discuss it on this podcast. And I'm very happy for Ian to correct me on a few things.
Let's start at the start, James.
I sent you this list. Do you want to take it from here, mate?
Well, let's start at the poke they've made of 35. Let's start there.
It's a disaster, isn't it?
So the back end of 34, the midweek, Sky have engineered, so TNT have put Arsenal v Chelsea on the Tuesday of that week. And I think TNT have probably said, fair enough, if that's the day you want the game, we'll schedule it then. It's going to be a live game. We're still going to get a big audience. But what we're going to do, we're going to put our second choice, West Ham v Liverpool. We're going to pick that game because you've picked Tottenham v Arsenal the following weekend. So TNT know that they've got two Liverpool games still to pick. So they've picked that one, which puts them up to five out of the six they're allowed. And it's the one Liverpool game they know they can get in their preferred slot, 12:30 on a Saturday. Why that's their preferred slot, I have no idea. But they really do like to have those games at 12:30 on a Saturday. They don't really like moving them to Sundays or late on a Saturday or late on a Sunday. So with that game going to 12:30 on a Saturday, that's where we get a bit of a mess with everything else that's been scheduled for that Saturday. I think it's Forest v Man City, Aston Villa v Chelsea, and the Tottenham v Arsenal. They can all do a bit of a merry-go-round there, can't they? So then we get to 36, which is the next one coming. So if I put you in the position, James, you're head of Sky TV, you've got first pick for 36. Where are you going?
I think it's Liverpool Tottenham, isn't it?
It looks like Liverpool Tottenham, doesn't it? And that's going in your 4:30 Sunday slot. So I'm going to be head of TNT Sport. Now I've got a choice here. So I can't pick Liverpool because you've picked them. I've still got two Arsenal picks and I've still got two Man City picks.
Just
So I could
to clarify one thing there, Ian. Do TNT always have the second pick?
always second pick.
Always, no matter what.
Always.
Right, okay. I wasn't aware of that. I thought there was times where it worked out they got the fifth pick.
So they can get second or fifth picks, yes.
Right. But they've
But
presumably
they have
saved
got enough,
themselves.
they've got enough
Right.
second picks to go.
Okay. So how does that work? How would you know when you're doing this when they've gone for a second pick or a fifth pick? Because
You
they've
can base
also
it on the game, really. So
true,
if
but they've
it's,
also got to show someone at least once, right? That's
yes.
part of their contractual, yeah.
They have to show everybody once, and the maximum they can show is six on that Saturday package. So if I'm second pick now, I'm either going to go for Arsenal v Bournemouth
I'll see
or
once.
Man City v Wolves. Now, I think that they'll go for Arsenal v Bournemouth. But if I was picking, I'd go for Man City v Wolves. And there's a reason behind that, because
Go on.
that keeps Sky honest for the following week.
Okay, this is clever. Go on.
So the following week, if I've gone for Man City v Wolves, and then we can take a stab at the other. So the guaranteed games are 36. Guaranteed games for TV are Arsenal v Bournemouth, City v Wolves, and Liverpool v Tottenham. So if I go for Man City v Wolves, then you're going to pick Arsenal v Bournemouth up as your third pick. And you're probably going to stick that on Saturday evening.
Well, the games could end up on the Saturday by force anyway because of the Champions League either midweek.
But it can only be for one of them, can't it? Or can it? No, it can be for both if
Yeah,
they're
because they
both
could play
with.
each other, couldn't they? So
That's it.
if they're
They'll
both
be
playing the
paired.
Wednesday before and then the Tuesday afterwards, under that circumstance, Arsenal, Bournemouth, City, Wolves would be guaranteed to be on the Saturday under that
So
circumstance.
that, and if they're both going to be on Sky, they can be at 5:30 and 8 o'clock, can't they? So
Yeah,
that
they'd
might
have
well
to be.
happen. But for both of those to be on Sky, then Sky are going to have to give TNT Liverpool v Tottenham, and I can't see that happening. I really can't.
No.
So then the possible games for that week, I think, are going to be Brighton v Villa, Sheffield United v Forest, Luton v Everton, and Palace v United.
You think they'll all be on the TV, to clarify?
I don't think they will, no.
No.
Sky have got, if we assume that Tottenham v City and Man United v Newcastle in game week 37 are going to be picked, then that leaves Sky 11 picks for 36, 37, and 38. So I think they'll go 4-4-3.
Yeah, three on the final day. And will Sky on the final day, will they have the first three picks there?
First
So
pick.
they'd only have the
TNT have
first.
still got second pick, and
So
we'll come to that in a
TNT
bit.
could show under a hypothetical, let's say all three teams are going for the title. TNT will have one of the games on the final day. Sky be doing their nuts about
They will. TNT have
that.
played it well.
Yeah, we spoke about this last season that they were learning to play the game better. Why did you say that if TNT picked City Wolves in 36, that would keep Sky honest for 37?
So for 37, again, we've got the guaranteed games are going to be Man United v Arsenal, Villa v Liverpool, and Fulham v Man City.
Yeah, obviously.
So if TNT have picked Man City v Wolves in 36, again, you're head of Sky on 37. What are you picking first?
Right, they're going to want the team that's top, aren't they? So this will be really tough, essentially, because if City was to get themselves in a position in the next couple of weeks where they go top, essentially that's what they'll want. But the other two fixtures are more attractive: United against Arsenal, Villa against Liverpool. So I think that still, though, because of the prestige of the fixture, it would maybe be United against Arsenal at this stage.
Yeah, it could well be. And if that's the case, then I'm going to pick Villa v Liverpool.
Yeah.
And that will be on a Sunday, because Liverpool probably be in
if
the
they're still
Europa
in Europe,
League semi-final. Yeah. So that can go to Sunday. And if they're away, it'll be Sunday evening. If they're at home, it could be Sunday lunchtime.
So
I think...
Do you agree with that idea that United-Arsenal would be the first pick for Sky?
Depending on how Arsenal get on in the weeks coming, I think it would be. But what Sky could do, they could pick Fulham v City as their first pick, give TNT the choice of either United v Arsenal or Villa v Liverpool, and pick up the other one with a third pick. They could be crafty that way.
Yeah, I mean, under that basis, Sky are almost definitely going to end up City that weekend, you would think.
Yes. And the reason I think that TNT will pick City, or could pick, if I was in charge, City v Wolves on 36, is because they'll have shown Arsenal on the 23rd, and they'll have shown Liverpool on the 27th or 28th, whichever it is, on that Saturday. So then their next team in the rotation could be City, and then that will give them either Arsenal at United or Liverpool at Villa on 37. And if they have Villa v Liverpool in 37, then they can have either Arsenal or City in 38, because they'll still have a pick for each left. And Sky can only first pick one of them. And so, Sky always pick the team that's top of the league on the final day. And so in the Premier League, the top of the league team has never been overturned in the final day.
Yes. Yeah. Sky will pick whoever's top under that circumstance. Yeah, of course they will. You said 11 picks left. So let's ignore the three picks on final day, because that's kind of irrelevant from a Sky perspective.
Yeah.
So you're saying four picks across the weekend of match day 36 and match day 37. Presumably this doesn't include the rearranged fixtures.
No. The rearranged games I've already included. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think it'll be a Monday game on 36.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be a Friday game on 37. But the reason being, the Championship playoffs are set for Sunday the 12th at 12:30.
Yeah.
And then Monday the 13th at 8:00.
Okay.
So Sky will have a game on the Monday anyway. And then if they can engineer Newcastle v Man United and Tottenham v City to Tuesday, Wednesday, they've then got the playoffs again on Thursday and Friday.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. So there's no interest for them in picking up Brighton v Chelsea. No, it'll just get left.
The only way that they might have had to pick Brighton v Chelsea to engineer Tottenham v Chelsea into a different week, so they could then get Arsenal v Chelsea into that 23rd on a Tuesday.
So,
but if they can, they might drop it anyway and pick something else up.
Based on that scenario you said about the Championship playoff final, I think that's quite important, because there is a small possibility that Chelsea Tottenham could be Friday or Monday around the weekend of 37, and the two teams play Friday, Monday, Thursday. That sounds really unlikely based on what
I don't think
said
that's
there.
Likely now. Yeah. No. I think it's going to be the Thursday in 36.
That's interesting. I mean, this doesn't matter from a Sky perspective. I've penciled it on the Wednesday of that week.
Oh, okay.
Just purely on the thought process, my thought process on that was Liverpool will probably play in Europe on the Thursday, and then there's one night where City and or Arsenal won't play, so there'll be a Champions League semi-final not involving an English team. Now, if it's the Wednesday, the Tuesday won't work because Tottenham obviously play at Liverpool on the Sunday, but the Wednesday could work under if that's the scenario, and I think that might be the preference.
Okay, that sounds
rather than go against Liverpool.
Yeah, that sounds feasible, to be honest. When would they know the days, though? Because it's not giving much notice.
You're going to know after the European fixtures, which is after the before the weekend of 34. So I'm guessing that's roughly when we're going to get Chelsea Tottenham confirmed.
Okay. So, yeah, either the Wednesday or the Thursday that week, I imagine. Not, as you say, it doesn't make any difference to Scott.
No. So I guess your thought process here is that United, Newcastle, Tottenham, City will both be single game days at the end.
Yeah.
But
one on the Wednesday, one on the Thursday.
Brighton, Chelsea, I guess, is likely to be the same night as one of them, maybe?
Yeah, if they go Tuesday, Wednesday, there's no reason to put Brighton v Chelsea on a Thursday. No, they'll just go on the Wednesday, I imagine.
Yeah. And I guess, based on what you said, probably the more likely they are. Mind you, it depends on the Sunday fixtures, isn't it? So if this goes back to the point of what Sky pick up, because I guess under that circumstance, then they're going to want one of Fulham City or Manchester United against Arsenal to be the 5:30 on a Saturday to manufacture it. Got to be.
Yes.
If they want the Tuesday, Wednesday fixtures.
Yeah. Because the other thing that Sky won't want is TNT picking up Villa v Liverpool and that being the last game on the Sunday.
Oh, because it could get moved to
because it'll be the
of
last
Liverpool's
game.
European involvement.
Yeah. I mean, Sky are clever. TNT have shown that they're cleverer. They'll work it to suit themselves. But I think what could be in TNT's favour is if Liverpool aren't top of the league on the last day and they're second, you've still got Klopp's farewell as a story anyway for TNT. I think they'll be quite happy to go with that. They could win the league. And if they don't, well, Liverpool's manager is leaving. We'll be there for that day.
Okay. So I think based on what you're saying, what really matters here to the Sky heads is that we're probably expecting two single game days, not involving the top three or teams that have got games to rearrange, i.e. Chelsea against Tottenham.
Depends on the relegation picture, because Sky normally only go for relegation when it's somebody can be confirmed as down or confirmed as up. So I think there's a fair chance that Brighton v Villa will be one of the games that could be a Monday night game on 36, but that will depend on whether Villa are still in Europe, because they don't like to play Monday, Thursday if they can help it.
Back on that, Ian. The year we pushed Leicester, when they arranged the fixtures, they gave us three Monday night games in a row. You obviously remember Hazard's goal against Tottenham. But before that, we played West Brom at home on a Monday night and we played Stoke away on a Thursday night. When those games were arranged, and bearing in mind this is going back 8 years, at the time, Tottenham was still in Europa League.
Oh, okay.
So I don't
There's
think
a possibility then.
I think for a one-off, that wouldn't matter too much. So the idea there, I was obviously if Tottenham carried on in Europe, that Tottenham were going to have a three-week period of Thursday, Monday, Thursday.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't matter as much, but I think if they can, they try to put them on a Sunday just because it's easier than travelling after. Say you play Monday night, then you've got a day off on the Tuesday, travel Wednesday, game on Thursday. It doesn't give you much time in between.
Yeah, but then
it could go either way.
Thursday night to Sunday 2 o'clock's worse, really, if you think
it is,
about
yeah.
it. At least if you're playing all night games, it's almost a little bit smoother from that perspective. And it might be a factor in the fact that it's an away game as well for Villa. And we would expect Villa to still be in Europe, although they've got a challenging tie against Lille. Yeah, I also had that Brighton Villa as a potential single game day, Ian. So I feel like I've won that one at least.
Yeah. The other possibility is Sheffield United v Forest, Luton v Everton, Palace v Man United.
So you think there'll
be a Monday,
two that weekend? So a Friday game?
No, I think there'll be just a Monday game that week. So I think there'll be TNT 12:30 or however it fits in with who they pick.
Yep.
I think there'll be a 5:30, a 2 o'clock, a 4:30 and a Monday night on that week.
Okay.
And then 37, I think there'll be a Friday night game. So I think it'll be Friday night and then either 12:30 or 5:30 and 8 o'clock, and then a 2 and a 4:30 on the Sunday. And I think the spare game there, again, could be a relegation game. So I've got down Forest v Chelsea, Everton v Sheffield United, or West Ham v Luton, or Tottenham v Burnley. But if it's Tottenham v Burnley, I don't see that being the Friday if they've had to play the midweek against Chelsea.
Yeah, it's the same applies for Forest Chelsea. Under that
also true. Yeah.
The one I penciled in there was West Ham v Luton.
Yeah, I think it could be. A lot will depend on the relegation picture. And I think 36 and 37 will get announced separately. I don't think they'll get announced together.
No. So when would you expect those two weekends announced respectively?
Well, there should be any time soon for the first one, shouldn't it? I mean, they do say that they try and give 5 weeks, and it must be close to 5 weeks now.
It's gone.
There you go.
It's gone. So that weekend of the match week 36, so beginning Friday, May the 3rd, it's April the 3rd today, mate. So
there you go.
It's four and a,
four so
and a
four
bit
weeks.
Weeks.
Yep.
I think they're going to try and leave it as late as possible, aren't they?
They always do, don't they?
So I think that on match week 36, they're going to have to make a decision soon.
Yes.
They have to. Match week 37, they're going to decide, obviously, after the European ties, aren't they?
Yes. Yeah.
So we might get that before the April the 20th weekend. Okay.
Possibly. Yeah.
It'll be in and around there. It might even be the midweek afterwards where we've got all the additional fixtures announced as well.
There's no draw needed, is there? But they do need to create the days of who's playing when.
So I think what's important to say, if we had the two single game days of Brighton v Villa and West Ham Luton, for example, you're probably still going to want to cover these, aren't you? Like Watkins and Bowen. Or it's interesting, actually, obviously, in Brighton's case, there'll be 4-for-2s over teams.
I think Brighton will be coming back into teams anyway, even if it's for the City game.
Oh, well, near the end. Oh, we're in the Thursday the 25th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got six games that week, or from then.
Yeah, the only problem with them is, other than, well, there's certain ones, Duncan Gross, I suppose, and Van Heck possibly as well. Other than that, it's not extra fixtures, is it? You know what I mean, if you wanted to punt like a João Pedro or something, you'd probably not get
no.
any of the games.
You'd be going for the ones that are going to play and get the tiers. They're not captaincies, are they? They're just players who want the fixture volume.
It's tough fixtures, though, isn't it? It's City at home, Bournemouth away, Villa at home, Newcastle away, Chelsea at home, United at home. I don't know how many clean sheets are in there for Dunk, for example. But I'll be honest, Dunk is part of my plan.
Yeah, and mine.
Interesting. There's a couple of things I wanted to ask you on, Ian, and on that, and it's really, really helpful. I wanted to ask you about the quotas. In terms of, we had this situation last year where we knew a Leeds game was going to go on TNT, because it wasn't Leeds, but it was someone else hadn't been picked up on TV yet. I forget who it was, on TNT. So there was. And TNT cleared up their quota of all the teams really early this year, where they'd shown everyone at least once. There's a couple of things I wanted to ask you, though. One was on Burnley.
Okay.
They've not had a 4:30, as far as I can see, all season. Do they have to?
There is a minimum quota, but if it's picked from package D, which is the 4:30, there might have been something that's been switched elsewhere. So they could have picked it in package D, but then the game's been switched with something else. I don't know off the top of my head if there is one. I could have a check back through. But
so what I've done is, when
I
the
can't
original...
see that Burnley are needed to be picked now.
When the original announcements are made, I'd make a little list then in terms of what the original are. And I've got a little table that's been tracking it. And it's largely useless. But it did lead me to the theory that Tottenham Burnley might be on a Sunday in the 12th.
Okay.
But it obviously wouldn't be the first pick.
Yeah, so
how would that
in
work?
That case, it won't be package D. Package D is the one that needs the first picks.
Right.
So I'm going to assume that they've been picked already.
Is the first pick always a 4:30?
No, it can be Saturday 5:30 in package B. I think there's 19 in one and 15 in the other or something like that.
So Burnley, I think, unless I've got this wrong, other than if you exclude like midweek fixtures, they've only been on TV 5 times.
Okay.
That's what I've got. Now, that just feels like way below the quota.
Well, the minimum, I think, is only
I've got
one
Sheffield
from
United
each
with
package.
10. So it's left me wondering about Burnley. Is there something
there's
there?
There's an anomaly there by the sounds of it, but I'll be very surprised if Burnley are missing, at this stage of the season, a minimum pick. Very surprised.
The other team I haven't got has had a 4:30 all season, and this would cover it off, is Wolves.
Okay.
But I don't know if the Christmas Eve fixture against Chelsea, which was an earlier kickoff, would have been that.
Could have been a first pick. Yeah. I can't remember. What else was on that weekend?
Liverpool-Arsenal was a Saturday night.
Right, okay. Well, that sounds first pick to me.
Yeah.
But that could have been picked out of package B. So maybe out of package D, the Wolves Chelsea game was it.
So it's not so much the times of the games, it's the actual package is more
and Sky
important.
Are very good at manoeuvring games around. Very good.
So my understanding is on that first pick package, everyone has to be twice. Is that right?
I thought it's once.
I've got it as twice.
Okay.
And I think there's probably stuff hidden in there, isn't it? Where you have like Burnley Everton on a Saturday and it's worked out to be like a first pick. And
correct.
Sky have said, right,
Package B can be a first pick. I think there's 19 in package D and 15 in package B because there's 34 weekend rounds and there's four either midweek or bank holiday rounds, aren't there? So that would be right. It's a first pick on each week somewhere. And they will manoeuvre them. And stuff like things move from a Saturday to a Sunday to accommodate somebody going back from Sunday to a Saturday to ensure that your Champions League team can get the game in. They're very good at manoeuvring these games. Very good.
I did a piece with Clayton last week. We did a pod.
Yeah, I listened. It was cracking, listening that.
Was my theory on TNT picking West Ham Liverpool to stitch up the Sky's midweeks, is that right? They're that evil, aren't they?
It definitely helped. But I think their main thing there was it was the only Liverpool game that they knew they could get in their 12:30 slot.
So they may well have picked it anyway, but he did the double of stitching up Sky at the same time as well.
I mean, there was no way Sky were going to first pick it. Otherwise, that would have left the door open for Tottenham v Arsenal on TNT.
Yeah, and at this stage of the season with Arsenal in the title race, there was no way they weren't going to pick up the North.
I mean, it's worked out well for both of them, hasn't it, to get a three-way title race. If that carries on into these end of the weeks, then every game's going to be big.
It does, but at the same time, Sky are losing out on some of the games. And I also feel like they've lost out on that midweek, essentially.
Yeah.
Because if they have to show Brighton City the same time as Everton Liverpool,
if they'd have first picked West Ham v Liverpool and put it in the 4:30 on Sunday, they could have easily got Everton v Liverpool in the Thursday night.
Correct.
And Brighton v City on the Wednesday night.
Did you think, I said on that as well, Clayton asked me if I thought the Premier League had any power to go, no, you've got it, TNT have got West Ham, Liverpool, that's fine, but sorry, that's got to go on the Sunday. Does the Premier League hold any power there at all?
I don't think the Premier League can force TNT to put a game on a Sunday. If it fits on a Saturday, then I think the TNT within their rights say, that's our package, we paid for it, the game can go there, so it will.
Okay, cool. Thank you, Ian, appreciate that. Let's do a few questions.
Okay.
Before we finish off, Joseph Crilly, more of a macro question: first season playing Sky, seeing very little movement in rank over the last few weeks, despite some good returns. Is this quite common at this stage of the season? And would there be potential for more rank volatility in the final weeks?
Definitely common at this stage of the season because the good players have all got the same, well, not identical teams, but 9 out of 11.
Yeah, so that really
where you gain on the swings, you lose on the roundabouts. There is room for rank rises in April and May because you'll be catching up to teams that have used their transfers.
What would you say to someone who, I don't know, was sort of floating in and around perhaps the top 100, perhaps towards the back of it and really wanted to push for, say, a top 10 finish or something? Is it like a wise suggestion to go for second picks, i.e., for example, if your first pick was Rashford, go with Fernandes or go for Barnes instead of Gordon, these sort of things. Would you advise that under that scenario?
If you want to push and you're not fussed about dropping, then yeah, that's a way to do it. It all depends on what your goals are. I mean, I hear people say that they is first is first and second is nowhere. But if you're in a mini league or a cash league, then you've got that to play for as well, haven't you?
Glenn 992, Dark Invader says, what could be the best possible scenario for May? any potential three or four for zeros that you could see happening in May specifically?
I don't think there'll be three or four for zeros. The best that I've seen is if that City, Tottenham and Chelsea all play on Sunday the 5th, with Arsenal playing on Saturday the 4th, then you're getting four or five for twos over Arsenal, Bournemouth and Brentford.
Yeah, the other one would have been if that Tottenham-Burnley game went on a Sunday, three for ones at the end.
Yeah. So you get Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday.
Yeah,
3-1 over anybody that's played on Saturday.
But I think based on what you said, that Tottenham-Burnley game on the Sunday probably seems unlikely because Burnley probably have had a first pick somewhere.
Yeah, I don't think that that's needed to be on the Sunday. The way that it could go on the Sunday is if the Chelsea v Tottenham goes on the Thursday the previous week. It might force it to the Sunday.
Yes, that's true. But then you might just want to enter on the Thursday with the Chelsea game under that.
You might want to enter on the midweek anyway,
okay,
because you'll get an extra game.
What do you think also from Glenn 992? Nunes for Solanke, presumably tomorrow. What do you think of that?
Risky. Nunes on 8 yellows. He's got to get to Palace clear before he's not at risk of a ban.
He's definitely getting booked at Old Trafford, isn't he?
Probably. Doesn't leave much room for manoeuvre after that, because even if he gets booked in the Palace game, he's banned for the next two.
What about this for a chain move? And this is something very similar to I've been thinking about. A man's hat that says, thoughts on Neto to Raya tonight, and then moving on to Onana on April the 24th. That's that Wednesday night after Arsenal.
Has somebody been
Chelsea.
Looking at my plan?
Well, this was my plan, but just Areola instead of Neto, but I obviously made the move on Sunday. But yeah, that's exactly what I'm looking at.
Yeah, I've got that down as a potential.
Okay. Talk at 86. Any preference between McAllister or Luis Diaz if looking to punt in that region?
Well, Diaz is explosive and McAllister should tick along. I'd probably go McAllister, to be honest. I think Diaz is more of at risk if Jota comes back.
Yes. I also think even Curtis Jones and Harvey Elliott can have little bits of impact on that as well.
And Gakpo.
Definitely Gakpo. Dan Cobden says, I'll shorten this question. What about moving Son on tonight to Arsenal?
Well, I'm thinking of it. I think a lot will depend on what I think of the Arsenal team.
Do you think it'll be strong?
I think it'd be too strong for Luton.
Either way, yeah, I agree with that, unfortunately.
I think if he's going to make some changes, I can't see him playing the same 11 Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday, Tuesday. I really can't. There's got to be some changes somewhere.
Do you fancy punting something if there's something random tonight, like a Trossard?
No.
Or you wouldn't go down that route?
Because the punt probably won't play again on Saturday then.
Yeah. Mindy says, I think you said before on the pod that Ian holds back transfers wisely for a late charge. Is there anything different he does at the end to others?
No, it's different at the start, I guess. I plan long term from when the fixtures and the games first start, and then long term again at overhaul. So I'm using less transfers in the first two-thirds, three-quarters of the season than others. That's the difference.
I'll ask one more of you before we finish up. When do you think your last transfer will be?
Either the final Sunday or it'll be Tottenham or Chelsea when they play midweek. Not the final Sunday, the penultimate Sunday.
Yeah, I know what you mean. So Sunday the 12th.
Yes.
Is there any learnings from last year where I think a lot of us in the final day only had like six or seven players because it was a nightmare?
That's just unlucky. I mean,
so
I saved my
factor
transfer.
That in nice. Thinking I want a differential captaincy punt on final day or anything like that.
No, I'd rather have three games for one somewhere else. I mean, I saved transfers, and was it last year that Liverpool played Southampton on a Tuesday?
That's
or was it 2 years ago?
got to be 2 years ago because Liverpool weren't close to the title last year, were they?
Yeah, and I was out of transfers and Salah was injured. So I didn't have a captain that day. And that's somebody that keeps transfers back.
Yeah, and it's also that to factor in. I mean, I know because Liverpool had finished drawn with Tottenham before, wasn't it? That it didn't look realistic for them to win the title. So he changed the whole team at Southampton.
Yeah.
So there wasn't even any gain on because of that. There ended up being no gain on Liverpool players. Obviously, they're better than most anyway. But there is that to factor in with all these gains at the end, isn't there? Let's just say City pulled away, for example, or even if City fell out the race and still in the Champions League, you're not getting the additional fixtures that it appears on paper.
No, well, that definitely happened last year, didn't it? There was so much rotation with City. They played the strongest team in the Champions League. And, well, I say second-rate team. It's not. They're still very, very good. But a second-choice team in the Premier League every game.
They had that scenario at the end, didn't they, of the 3-for-1 over many teams. It was Chelsea on the Sunday after the title had been decided the day before. They had Brighton away and then Brentford away final day.
That's right.
It was just a mess, wasn't it?
And nobody played. It was mad. Yeah, I fell in the Edison trap last year. I won't be doing that this year.
Is that a never again, is it? Do you have
It's not a never
like
again, but it's certainly not the end of the season ever again, unless City are only in the league.
You'd consider Ortega, though, wouldn't you, if Edison was out for the rest
of
the
absolutely.
Season?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's some people that have been cute on Kelleher, and they've had a longer run than I thought
expected.
Was gonna happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's not been too bad at all. I suppose the only problem with that is you probably want to keep holding it, and there's not really anywhere to go from it because Liverpool kind of play last quite a lot. There's not really going to be anywhere to go
they
from
play
it.
Thursdays, but once he's out of the team, you've got to pick somebody else, haven't you? So that'll be a move with no gain, probably to Petrovic.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. Petrovic, Monday the 15th, is the one that you can possibly see. You can't go for Bruggen or Steele. You're probably going to struggle to get up to Edison. And as we just said, you don't want to do that anyway. So and maybe Sunday the 28th, but you need to kind of maybe in for like Vicario.
Possibly.
If Tottenham Arsenal stays on that Sunday, but you're going to need to have the money to obviously make that sort of move happen. That might be one for people, maybe.
What to plan ahead for.
Ian, thank you so much. Pleasure, mate. Anything you want to plug before we finish, buddy?
No, just you'll find my Sky transfer planner on Fantasy Football Hub. And that's about it, mate, to be honest,
Ian, thank you so much. Star, mate. You can follow Ian
Hey,
at
welcome.
Planet Sky. That's Planet with an I, unlike Planet FPL with an E. We are not affiliated, but we do secretly love each other. Serge, I'm told, will be back for next Wednesday's Sky Fantasy Football podcast. Tomorrow's Clash of the Correspondents is Fulham versus Newcastle with Dara Cohen and Simon Bibby. Thank you so much, Ian. As always, guys, be nice to each other and play it your way. Cue music, please, Manchild.
The Fantasy Football Show.